Today on Real Radio.
I think we're living at a time where there's some tough things coming to our doorsteps. You say, Jack, that could never happen. We're going to get raptured, right? We're going to get raptured when we get raptured. But why would the church in America escape persecution when the church and the other parts of the world have had to go through it? Brother, sister, I'm hoping for the rapture tonight. But if it doesn't come, there are people who don't even know you and they hate you because of your God.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the Old Testament book of Judges. If you've been following along in this historical narrative with us, you probably know by now that there are many parallels with the period of the Judges and the period in which we are now living today in Western society. This study is taken from Judges chapter 19, and it's entitled, What Happens When God Is No Longer Welcome? Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
Law enforcement reports that homosexuals were shouting. This is a law enforcement report. Shouting things that I'll just say are similar to what these guys are about to make a request for. Okay? Verse 5, and they called to Lot and said, where are the men? They're angels. They don't know that. Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know them carnally. Sodomize them. So Lot went out to them through the doorway, shut the door behind him, and said, please, my brethren. My brethren? What are you talking about, Lot? You nut. Do not do so wickedly. See now, I have two daughters. What's with these guys? Wherever God is not welcomed, people go nuts. I have two daughters who have not known a man. Please let me bring them out to you and you may know them or do unto them as you wish. Only do nothing to these men, since this is the reason they have come under the shadow of my roof. And they said, stand back. Then they said, this one came in to stay here and he keeps acting as a judge. They're talking about Lot. Now we will deal worse with you than with them. So they pressed hard against the man Lot and came near to break down the door. But the men reached out their hands. Listen to this. The angels reached out their hands and pulled Lot into the house with them and shut the door. Watch. Verse 11. And they struck the men who were at the doorway of the house with blindness. Okay, right then and there, I would stop if I were one of those guys and say, I'm now blind. I think something heavy's going on here right now. They were blinded, both small and great, so that they became weary trying to find the door. That's not trying to find the door to get out. That's still trying to find the door to get in. They were so driven by their perverse state that even in blindness, they're looking for the doorknob to get into the house to come after Lot and these two angels. In the Bible, Jesus said it's going to happen again before he comes back. I think it's happening now. So they became weary trying to find the door. Verse 12, then the men said to Lot, have you anyone else here? I love these angels. Hey, Lot, Yes. Do you have anybody else in this city that you know? Quick, tell us now. You kind of get the feeling something big is going to happen, huh? Son-in-law, sons, daughters, whomever you have in the city, take them out of this place. Look at the exclamation point in your Bible. Get them out now. Verse 13, for we will destroy this place because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. You think God's asleep? You think God's joking around? You say, well, I haven't seen any angels. I haven't seen anybody smitten blind. I haven't seen anything happening. He's not going to do it this way again. He's going to do it a different way next time. The Lord is not going to burn California down with fire and brimstone. Not yet. Sometimes we wonder when the fire starts. But it's not going to happen that way. Today, I think it's God's mercy that when a homosexual gets sick from their sexual conduct and their interaction, it's so physically devastating to their bodies. It's horrible. Physiologically, it's terrible. Romans chapter 1, verses 26 to 27 tells us that because of their actions, they get polluted on the inside of their bodies. They receive within themselves the reward of their conduct. You rip your guts up, and then you become contaminated, and your immune system goes crazy trying to fight off all of that. And I've told you this before, but it bears repeating. God is so smart that when a man and a woman come together physically in a monogamous relationship, marital relationship, it's just them, their immune systems are literally built up. And their psychology is at ease. There's a peace. By the way, you know the old Puritans, way back and even in the Pilgrim days. When you were to be married, when you got married, you had a service. The pastor invited God to listen to the vows. The vows were exchanged. They were married before the Lord that way. Okay? It was a spiritual union in that they were Christians marrying each other, right? Do not be unequally yoked, right? And then the other one was, the two shall become one flesh. Did you know that? Those are the three things that fully consummated a marriage in 17th century England and America. So much so, in many cultures, even in the Middle East, in Europe, in early America, there was to be proof that consummation took place. And some of those things I'm not going to get into right now. But they did the service, they agreed that it was a spiritual union between the two of them, an agreement, and consummation was made. And if you failed any of those three, you were not officially married. Interesting. In the homosexual union, physically, it is so biologically and chemically destructive that if you once, one person entertains that activity just one time, and male protein is distributed into another male, just once, the biological chemical footprint, fingerprint of that action remains in the host, the receiver, for 7 years, and his immune system will fight that starting instantly up to 7 years. It will destroy your body. That's why you have read and seen and heard from the Center for Disease and Control in Atlanta in the morbidity mortality review, that homosexual male conduct can shorten your life 20 to 40 years prematurely. Isn't it? A 40-year-old man could die because of a breakdown in his immune system. It's murder. Nobody says anything about it because people are afraid. We have labels. Spray paint cans can cause brain damage if sniffed. We have labels on spray paint cans. But homosexual conduct will kill people physically. But you see, we're not supposed to talk about that. And how dare you talk about that, Pastor? Don't you love them? You can get killed doing that. It can kill you. It's very sad. The Bible addresses it. But people want to hate the Bible for speaking the truth. How did we get here as a culture? How did we get here tonight to talk about this? It's happening in our world. You don't want to talk about it? You don't want to think about it? That's how we got here. Come with us onto a college campus. They're talking about it. Here's what happened. We stopped leading our culture. I'm just talking to the believers. We stopped leading our culture. The believers got out of the culture. Number two, we stopped being engaged in our culture. Christians should be the most engaged people in all of the world. We stopped caring for others. When we don't get engaged and we don't lead in the culture, we stop caring for people. There's no greater love in the world than for true Christian love to be exhibited in a culture. We're celebrating the amazing thing about how America has elected its first black president. How awesome is that? Do you know who'd be clicking their heels right now? Have you read their writings? Have you read the writings of Dr. Benjamin Rush and Benjamin Franklin regarding the blacks and the slaves? You say, well, they had slaves. Yeah, you ought to read about it. First of all, it's hard to turn a big ship. You don't turn it all at once. Those guys treated their slaves like their own kids. And they wrote how we, in this effort, will someday be able. Because the nations, the colonies were divided, you know, on the value of a slave, and is he really a person? Maybe he's a third of a person. And you should read the writings of Franklin and Rush and Adams. They believed that all men were created equal. Everybody didn't believe that, but the big boys believed it. Thank God, by the grace of God, they prevailed. And eventually, great victories were made. I'm not endorsing Barack Obama's policies whatsoever, but isn't it an amazing thing? It's awesome that in a country with the history that we have regarding slavery, that now we have a black president. That's a testimony to the American spirit, regardless of his policies. It's a very serious thing. But the Christian needs to be involved in the culture, like our early fathers, and like the pilgrims before them that created the culture. But the Bible warns against the things that are going on in these last days. And I want you to look at the last, where is it? Wow, look at verse 26. We'll wrap it up down to verse 30. We'll be done. Then the woman came as the day was dawning. Ugh, this is horrible. This woman had been raped all night long. She fell down at the door of the man's house where her master was, till it was light. And when her master arose in the morning, he opened the doors of the house and went out to go his way. And there was his concubine fallen at the door of the house, note it, with her hands on the threshold. The word implies that she had gripped the threshold trying to get inside the house. Does this make you sick? I hope it does. This is tragic. The condition of this woman, the brutality, probably beaten to a pulp, completely torn to pieces, And she's grabbing under the threshold, trying to get in. And he said to her, "Get up, let us be going." But there was no answer. So the man lifted her under the donkey, and the man got up and went to his place. And when he entered his house, he took a knife and laid hold of his concubine and divided her into 12 pieces, limb by limb, and sent her throughout all the territory of Israel. And so it was that all who saw it said, now listen, church, everyone who saw this said, "No such deed has been done or seen from the day that the children of Israel came up from the land of Egypt until this day." Mark it. Consider it, confer, and speak up. What happens when God is no longer welcome? The culture dies. A value system shifts. We'll end with this right here. We don't have time to go any further, but I'll tell you what. There's three statements right there. Unless God sends a revival to the United States, an awakening, and for those of you who don't know what an awakening is, an awakening is when God sees the condition of a nation or a people. Awakenings have been monitored throughout history. We had somewhat of an awakening, a little awakening, in the 70s, late 60s and in the 70s in America. The turn of the century, there was a little awakening that took place in the northeastern seaboard of America. The great preacher Jonathan Edwards, he was in his pulpit, church. This is recorded facts. He was reading his sermon in his pulpit here in America. Eyewitnesses said he looked up four times and read in a monitory fashion. He just read his sermon. You can, by the way, you can look at it online. It's one of the, it's called "Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God" by Jonathan Edwards. I think, don't quote me on this, but he was president of Harvard and or Yale. He simply read the sermon. People driving by in their carriages and on their horses who couldn't even hear the sermon, passing down the street, fell from their horses, got out of their buggies, fell to the ground, and begged God to have mercy on them. And they didn't even hear the message. Documented here in America. An awakening is when God begins to hear the cries of his people and he stirs them up divinely, supernaturally. And what happens is people's hearts are convicted. What are we going to do about an army of people who are mobilizing to attack churches? You pray. What's that going to do? We're calling upon the mercy of God. A few weekends ago, we're going to appeal to heaven. Why? Because maybe God will hear our cry and he'll stir the hearts of not only the believer, but maybe there'll be those who will fall off their horses and ask God to forgive them. You got to cheer up people. According to my understanding of the Bible, and you can read it for yourself, we could be real close to a great awakening. America needs it. We're in trouble as a culture. Our children are being taught things that you're not even aware of. You better find out. In a school board meeting, I'm not saying this school board, in a school board meeting in California, the school board had a banana and they were practicing putting condoms on a banana, and they were going to see how that went to see if the kids could learn how to do the same thing. In California. We're close to maybe an awakening. I pray we're close to an awakening. I pray that that would not happen. that our kids would have to go that way. I pray God would intervene. But if he doesn't intervene, I think we're living at a time where there's some tough things coming to our doorsteps. You say, Jack, that could never happen. We're going to get raptured, right? We're going to get raptured, right? We're going to get raptured when we get raptured. But why would the church in America escape persecution when the church and the other parts of the world have had to go through it? Brother, sister, I'm hoping for the rapture tonight. But if it doesn't come, there are people who don't even know you and they hate you because of your God. They don't know him. If they only knew him, they would love him. And they hate you and they've never met you. But if they knew you, they wouldn't hate you because you love them. But when we looked at Judges 19 tonight, it is so telling of the age in which we live. I mean, there's a hush upon this sanctuary tonight, and I know it's because of how relevant the Bible is to the moment we're living in. And this is amazing. The name of the Lord, it is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it, we are safe. Don't forget that even for the most militant, the most violent, for God so loved them that he gave his only begotten Son. That if they would believe in him, they would not perish. Isn't that awesome? But have everlasting life. Heaven's coming. I hope soon. But for any of you who are thinking that we're not living in the last days, man, wake up. These are amazing days. You know what the cool thing is? Jesus told us, it's going to be like this before I come back. And I turn on my news and I open the Bible and I say, wow. Wow, God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation taken from Judges chapter 19. It's entitled, What Happens When God is No Longer Welcome? It's part of our series through this Old Testament narrative that speaks of the period of the Judges, and we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we are beginning to near the end of this Old Testament narrative, which really speaks of the volatility of the nation of Israel, and quite obviously, there are many parallels to today's society in which we live. Well, now we're offering Pastor Jack's series of the Book of Judges, all on one convenient MP3 CD. And here's our offer, for your gift to the ongoing work of Real Radio of any amount. We'll be happy to send it your way. Just be sure and mention the Book of Judges on MP3 CD, whether you call, click, or write. Starting with our website, you can visit us at realradioactive.org. And once you're there, you'll know where to click. Realradioactive.org. You can also call us at 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. Or you can send in your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.